You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now we have a special report on the murky world of multinational tax avoidance. This comes after a New Zealand Herald investigation revealed Apple do not pay tax in New Zealand. BFM reporter Sam Smith has more.
Tax, a topic people go out of their way to avoid talking about. I mean, it's not exactly a glamorous area, and if people do talk about it, it's usually to complain about how much tax they pay, or in turn to celebrate their latest tax return. However, if you add everyone's favourite tech company Apple into the mix, and then point out how they pay little to no tax in New Zealand, then you might have a conversation starter. Well, over the weekend, in a special investigation, the New Zealand Herald revealed that Apple have paid no tax in New Zealand in the period since 2007, despite selling billions of dollars worth of Apple products in New Zealand. Now, according to statements from the company's New Zealand subsidiary, Apple Sales New Zealand, Apple's total share here since 2007 amount to a whopping $4.2 billion. This means that had Apple reported the same profit margin in New Zealand as it did for its operations globally, it would have paid $356 million in taxes in New Zealand. In a statement, Apple said it aims to be a force for good, and we're proud of the contribution we've made in New Zealand over the past decade. Because our products and services are created, designed, and engineered in the US, that is where the vast majority of our tax is paid. Now, Apple New Zealand's operations are wholly owned by an Australian parent company and are run from Australia. A tax treaty between the two countries sees dual claims on income tax default to where the company is controlled. This means that Apple New Zealand's tax bill of $3 million from last year was paid in Australia, not in New Zealand. The government is refusing to comment on the report into Apple's tax affairs here. However, Revenue Minister Judith Collins, in a previous interview, acknowledged the challenge the government faces in combating multinational tax evasion. In response, the Labour Party is calling for greater transparency over how multinationals like Apple conduct their tax affairs. Labour revenue spokesperson Michael Wood says there is no reason Apple should avoid public scrutiny. To explain this murky world of multinational tax, earlier I spoke to Victoria University law professor John Preble, and I began by asking him how Apple gets away with paying no tax in New Zealand.
The reason they pay very little income tax here is because of their international tax planning. And international tax planning enables them to create costs that they set off against their profits in New Zealand. And if you set off enough costs against those profits, you've got no profit left, and therefore there's nothing to pay tax on. Now, the way they organise these costs, as far as New Zealand is concerned, I haven't seen their accounts, so I don't know how they do it, but there are various different techniques that you can use. One is known as transfer pricing, and that is if you, as a member of the Apple group, sell goods to New Zealand, you may sell them at quite a high price, with the result that in New Zealand, when the Apple New Zealand end sells the goods to a customer, the price that the customer pays is not much more than the price that Apple New Zealand paid for the goods to come into the country. And that means that there's very little profit in New Zealand, and when you deduct the cost of running shops in New Zealand and whatever other expenses Apple incurs in New Zealand, you wind up with no profit left. Now the question is whether the price that is paid is excessive or not. So that's one issue, and whether Apple uses that technique, I'm not sure.
Ethically speaking, how bad a look is this for Apple?
Well, it doesn't look particularly good at all. The problem is that there are various legal statements by judges that say that there's nothing wrong with avoiding tax in this sort of manner. The problem is that we appoint and employ judges not to tell us about ethics. Mm. We tell them about law. But if a judge says that something is not bad, then everybody assumes that from a moral point of view, his statement has some special value, but it doesn't. And indeed, there are other judges who say the opposite.
Mm.
So it's actually probably a bit worse than the statements that we've seen from the United States complaining about what's been happening to New Zealand, because in fact Apple manages to avoid most of its tax in the United States as well. And for the US spokesman for Apple to say Apple pays most of its tax in the United States, while that is literally true, the amount of tax is very little as a result of the way in which Apple organizes its international tax operations.
Do recent policy changes to crack down on multinational tax avoidance go far enough, in your opinion?
Well, it's pretty hard to say. New Zealand is following the OECD lead here, and New Zealand has been among the leaders of the countries that have adopted the OECD approach, which is certainly a stronger approach than has been seen up to date. But I'm a bit skeptical whether it's going to work for a number of reasons. One of them is that to some extent it's going to depend on how much the United States is willing to cooperate. And the problem that the rest of the world has is that the companies like Apple that avoid the most of the tax are mainly United States taxpayers. So if other countries like New Zealand or the European countries are to make Apple pay more tax, that in the end means that a lot of American residents who are shareholders in Apple will wind up with less in the way of dividends themselves. And as a result, from a broad perspective, there is some advantage to the United States in going rather slow on this sort of crackdown, because it's their citizens who are going to have to pay most tax in the end. It's not just that, of course, and United States government will stand to collect some more tax just as everybody else does, but overall, if you look at not just the government but also the citizens, the United States stands to lose a good deal more than most other countries. So it's pretty hard to know just how cooperative these United States are going to be with the OECD initiatives, and it's probably fair to say they haven't really been as active in the area as other countries have. So that's quite a major handicap that the rest of the world has in trying to enforce these sorts of new rules. So that's one problem. The second problem is that whenever you create rules in income tax law, there is inevitably a way to work around them. The problem is that when we tax profits, we're taxing something that is a factual difference between receipts on one hand and expenditure on the other. And to define that factual difference in legal terms is quite difficult, and people are always wiggling their way around those sorts of definitions. That's why we have a general anti-avoidance rule that looks at the substance of what's going on rather than the legalistic form. And in New Zealand, if we have a hugely successful company with sales since 2007 of $4.2 billion, which has been reported, and they've not paid any tax, it would suggest that there's a good deal questionable with the substance. And it's for that sort of reason that it seems to me that the Inland Revenue in New Zealand should deploy the general anti-avoidance rule against what Apple and others are doing. But they haven't shown any inclination to do so yet.
So what needs to be done then to tie up these tax loopholes?
Well, in the end, two things. I think narrowing the loopholes and defining the law more precisely, as the OECD is doing and as New Zealand is doing following OECD advice, is certainly a good start. but I doubt whether it will be altogether successful. And it suggests to me that we also should deploy the general anti-avoidance rule against this kind of transaction. Now, that has been quite difficult for Inland Revenue in the past, because the New Zealand courts have not quite understood what has been going on, and they have allowed some fairly doubtful sorts of avoidance transactions to stand. But in the last five, six or more years, the New Zealand courts have gained a much better understanding of the way in which people can avoid tax, and the Inland Revenue has had a number of very notable successes. The most notable one was 2009 against the Australian-owned banks that had avoided billions in tax in New Zealand, but they had to pay it. And that sort of attack by the revenue seems to me to be quite a good idea. Well, one of their problems is they don't have enough resources. It's a major operation for a tax department of any country, let alone a small country, to mount that kind of challenge to a global company like Apple. And the Inland Revenue does need more resources if they're going to make that kind of challenge. But at the moment, they're not operating on that basis. They're more operating to try and draft the rules in a stricter and more effective manner, which certainly I agree is the first step. But I would suggest it's not the only step, and we should be willing to attack these sorts of structures on the basis of substance as well as on the basis of form.
Like, naked is the theme. Like, people just love getting naked.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.